The story of James Buchanan Duke. The year is 1865. Sherman has completed his march through Georgia. Lee has surrendered at Appomattox. But in the wake of bloodshed and destruction is a broken, battered South, a land of ruined farms and villages. A few miles from Durham, North Carolina, stands a ramshackle farmhouse, its fields bare, its barn empty. Tramping along the dusty road is a bewhiskered man clad in a tattered gray uniform. A raw-boned mule plods behind him wearily, sweat glistening from its brown hide. Ahead, perched on the top rail of a fence, sits a husky, bare-legged boy. The boy is James Buchanan Duke.
Come on, mule. Get in.
Morning, soldier.
Morning, lad.
Your mule don't seem very spry.
No, reckon that's because she's blind. Oh, Betty. Say, is anybody living in that farmhouse now?
Oh, sure. There's me and my brother and my aunt.
What's your name, lad?
Duke.
Not Benjamin.
No, that's my brother. I'm James.
James, eh?
Uh-huh.
You been here all through the war?
Uh-huh. And if I'd been a little older, I'd have gone out and fought those blame Yankees myself. My pa, he was in the war, but nobody's ever heard from him, though. I don't suppose he'll ever come back.
I reckon you'd like to see him.
Yes. I don't remember what he looks like, but I do know he raised the best tobacco in this country.
A lad like you ain't smoking already.
Oh, no. I'm only taking the Yankee soldier's word for it. You see those fields? Well, they used to be full of tobacco, and now they're bare.
Sherman's men did that?
Yeah. Stole all the tobacco. Tore it right out of the field.
Well, ain't there anything left?
Well, there's one little patch over there by the southeast corner. They got orders to march before they could tear it up.
Appears like we're both in a pretty bad fix, lad. But if we get together, we might cure the tobacco and cart it to market.
Would you lend us the mule?
Why not? Being how it's all in the family. You see, my name's Duke, too. Washington Duke.
What?
That's right, son. I'm your pappy. Pretty good, Jim, down here in the south part of the state. Sold most of our tobacco anyway.
Well, we still have a lot left.
Yeah, but I think we can sell it up north. We'll rest a while when we get home, then start out again.
Oh, well, we're getting close to Durham. I can see the church steeple.
Yeah, it's been a long trip, but it was good experience for you. You turned out to be a right good salesman. Get up, Betty.
What's wrong with that mule, Paul?
I don't know. Get up. Get up in there.
Oh, she won't budge.
Well, I'll climb down and see what's wrong with her.
Paul. Paul, she can't go no further. Oh.
Good Lord.
Bessie. Bessie, get up.
Don't pull her line, son. Won't do any good. She's dead.
Paul. What are we going to do?
I don't know. Looks like we'll have to leave the rest of our tobacco right here.
Oh, someone's coming down the road.
It's Bill Mason, the postmaster. Hey, Bill, give us a lift.
Oh, yeah, what's happened here? Oh, it's you. I've been looking for you, Duke.
We've been south, but our mule just died. Old age, I reckon.
Yeah, too bad. Say, I got some mail here for you.
Me? Well, who'd be writing to me?
I don't know, but it's from the north, a whole stack of it. Addressed to your farm. Here.
Well, all those letters? What'd they say, Paul?
Well, I'll be. Let's see the t'others.
What'd they say?
Well, there's no Yankees. General Sherman's boys. The one who sold our tobacco. Well, this one's from Illinois, and this one's from Ohio.
What are the Yanks writing you for?
Well, they smoked up all the tobacco, and they want more. They're offering to pay for it.
Can we get rid of this load?
This and more. Say, we're through raising tobacco. We'll buy it from the neighbors and cure it ourselves. You and I are going into business, son. Why, we're liable to make a lot of money.
Before long, conditions in the South grew better, and young James Duke was working as overseer in his father's growing factory. For a few years, he went to school, but soon the lure of business drew him back to Durham. And when James Duke reached the age of 25...
Paul, come in here. I think I've got it.
You still tinkering with that contraption, Jim?
It works now. I finally got it. Now watch. The tobacco's in here and the paper there. And I turn this wheel so. Look at those cigarettes. Why, they're better than the ones rolled by hand.
Yes, they do look pretty good.
But we can turn out thousands of them a day. Thousands. Paul, I'm going to go to New York.
What for?
We'll open up an office in New York. That's where the money is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of big tobacco companies in New York. Bigger than we are.
Well, I intend to give them a run for their money. We're a jump ahead already with this new machine. You just leave it to me, Paul.
Yeah, you'll have to be careful. Those northern businessmen are mighty smart.
I have a few ideas of my own about business. If you'll just give me a chance, I'll show you that I'm just a little bit smarter.
Go ahead, son. But remember, you're walking into a lion's den.
Another gentleman did that once, and his name was Daniel. He came out all right, so I'm not worried. In fact, I think I'll enjoy meeting those lions.
By 1884, the lions of the tobacco business were engaged in a vicious, snarling battle of cutthroat competition. Lined up against Duke were four large firms, all thirsting for power and wealth. But Duke opened his bag of advertising tricks and began to edge in on the tobacco trade, and the struggle began in earnest. James Duke remained in his expanding New York office, gathering in the money, chuckling as he twisted the lion's tails.
Good morning, Mr. Duke.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jennings. I had an idea you'd pay me a visit. Sit down.
I'll be very blunt, Mr. Duke. The Guinea Tobacco Company and associate companies have authorized me to offer a proposition on their behalf.
What's the matter? Can't they run other big firms with my advertising as competition?
Such expense is ruinous to the whole industry.
Well, I'm satisfied, and I'm making money. Trouble is, the rest of the companies are annoyed because I thought of putting cigarettes in boxes and of making them by machine.
Mr. Duke, the four companies are willing to buy you out. Either that or...
Or you'll force me out.
Precisely. We're prepared to match you dollar for dollar, price-cutting, advertising, or any method you may employ.
I'm not selling out at any price. Fact is, I'm increasing my advertising budget.
Very well, sir. We gave you your opportunity. Keep that in mind.
I shall. And Jennings, perhaps someday I can reciprocate and give my four rivals an equal opportunity.
We've got to deliver some chairs.
Chairs?
Yeah, 380,000 of them.
I thought you were working for Duke's Tobacco Company.
Yeah, I am. Duke bought these chairs, and we have to take them to the depot. Each chair has an advertisement for Cameo cigarettes painted on the back.
But who's Duke going to give them to?
Cigar store. Huh? To every cigar store in America.
Come on, Pete, get moving.
Okay, get up there. Boss, here's your cigarettes.
Well, you're mistaken, Porter. I didn't order any cigarettes.
That don't make no account, boss. They're Cameo. The railroad gets them from Mr. Duke as samples. You better take them. They're free.
All right, men. We have 100,000 signs to get rid of. Plaster the signs all over town. The work has to be finished by morning.
Well, that's a pretty big job.
I know, but you can do it. When the people of New York wake up tomorrow, they won't know that any cigarette except Cameos exists. I'm going to beat the other companies at their own game.
For 5 years, the tobacco war continued, each company pouring its profits back into advertising. Then, in 1889...
We can't go on much longer in this way, Mr. Duke. Nobody's making any profit.
You're not trying to buy me out this time, are you, Mr. Jennings?
No. The four companies want to declare a... Well, shall we say a truce?
A truce, eh? It might be wise. Would the four companies consider a merger?
They might.
Of course, I'd have to have control and interest in the new corporation.
Oh, but sir...
5 years ago, I said I'd give you an opportunity. Well, this is it. Take it or leave it.
A merger will require much consideration.
You see this stick, Jennings?
Yes, what is it?
It's a flail, hickory wood. I used to pound tobacco with a stick like this when I was a youngster. I've picked tobacco out of the fields, cured the leaves, sold them to keep from going hungry. That's why I like this business, and why I'm going to stick to it, and why I intend to keep control of it. You understand?
Yes, I believe I do. But you're a hard man to deal with.
Oh, I'm an easy man to deal with, but a hard one to fight. If your companies combine with me, we'll have a corner on 90% of the entire trade. But if they refuse, I'm ready to continue the war.
Mr. Duke, there'll be a lot of negotiations before the merger is finally closed. But between you and me and that hickory stick, I believe the war is over. The war between the five companies ended in 1889 with the creation of the American Tobacco Company. As years progressed, this corporation increased its capital to $500 million and owned 150 factories. In 1924, James Duke created a trust fund for the foundation of Duke University and for hospitals in the Carolinas. On the 10th of October, 1925, he died at the age of 68, a man who started with nothing, but who turned opportunity into dollars. James Buchanan Duke, Captain of Industry.